It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
NYYST. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences. Knock it out the park. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris. Of course, SGR. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Record rain or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST. You're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 437 of the NYYST podcast. We are live here on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And SGR.
Okay.
Bro, we were pumping these shows out like three times a week during the postseason. Now it feels like we haven't recorded in like 2 months.
Yeah.
But it's the offseason is about to really hit high gear here as the Juan Soto free agency tour is set to begin here. He's apparently taking meetings with four teams, the Red Sox, Toronto Blue Jays, Mets, and finally the Yankees, which is a little bit curious the order that it's supposedly happening in. We're going to break that down. Plus, it's week two of Keep 'em, Dump 'em here. So we have 10 more names to get to this week. But before we do that, if you are in the chat here live on NYY Underground, please like this video, subscribe to NYYU. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. And tell everybody we are the official Yankees podcast of Odyssey. See, I can't get comfortable in this chair, man. I don't know what it is.
The new chair?
No, it's a chair I've been recording in for most of the season. I just can't get comfortable in it right now.
Interesting.
It just feels like we haven't had to sit in it for a while now. You know?
Break it back in, I guess. I don't know what your problem is there.
I don't know. It's been a weird week. This is my off week from training.
Oh, because you had the race, right? Congrats, man.
Oh, yeah, man. That's really awesome. Very proud of you.
Did Rob run it with you?
Unfortunately, Rod did not make it. He said something happened the night before, family issue, and I don't want to get into it. He told me what happened, and it's not my place to tell it here live on the air.
Rod, I hope everything's okay, Rod. I did see he ran the marathon, so congrats on that, too.
I mean, if he ran the marathon, he could have done this backwards and still finished
literally
faster than I did. But yeah, this is my off week of training, and all the new Christmas snacks came out, so I'm just indulging right now. I don't know.
Nice.
Maybe that's what it is. That's why I can't.
Yeah, dude.
It's all the goddamn sugar. I can't get comfortable
now. High fructose corn syrup you got in you.
You know what it is? I really started this weight loss journey in July of last year. I did the Captain's Challenge last summer, right into the run. I think I did take a week off after a run last year, and then started just back on my workout, back on my diet, right into this year where I did the challenge again over the summer, right into the run here. And now this is my off week, and I don't know what the fuck it is.
You know what it is? You know what it might be?
What?
You're on the edge of your seat right now.
I am on the edge of my seat, literally.
Because we don't know where Juan Soto is going to go, and that makes you a little uncomfortable inside.
I have an idea of where he's going to go.
Right? Do you?
Yeah, you think he's going to Boston, don't you?
No, I don't think he's going to Boston.
Okay.
I'm not the first. Let's start here. I'm not the first one to bring this up, but I do think it makes a hell of a lot of sense here. The timing of all this, that the Yankees are the last team to get a meeting with him. And if you look at the other three teams that do have meetings with him, they're all teams that the Yankees really can't let him go to.
Right.
So is the domino being plucked down to build until it gets to the Yankees, where now they're the last ones to go? And it's like, hey, Red Sox can't let him go in the division. Toronto can't let him go in the division. Mets can't let him go in the same town. Your move, Hal.
Well, let's just start here. I think it's, of course, strategic, but I also think it's out of respect. I think that the Yankees know, and it was probably explicitly said, that he's going to take the highest bid, and not necessarily literally the highest bid, because it's been rumored that the Yankees, as long as they're close, he's going back. But I think it almost puts the Yankees in the driver's seat if they're willing to write that, you know, hand him that blank check, right? And I also think there's been enough reporting on where the market's going to fall with him. It looks like it's going to land between 625 and 640. And I think the Yankees know that, and I think they're willing to go to the top of that list there. And then maybe if Cohen does something crazy where he offers him, you know, 55, 60 million a year, then the Yankees call their bluff. I mean, I don't know what to tell you at that point.
Well, they're calling the bluff means he's going to be a Met because he'll take the money.
At that point. And then let them handcuff themselves, because the Mets are in a much different place than the Yankees right now. And I'm not saying that, you know, I know there's all these people out there, and I'm not going to rip on you, but I know there's all these people out there that don't want the Yankees to spend this money. They see them allocating the money in better places, but A, I don't trust the guy allocating the money to do a good job to ever even make up for not having Soto, but B, it's Juan Soto, and we saw how valuable he is in this lineup. So to me, the Yankees are in a much different place. If the Mets want to be stupid and offer him $60 million a year, then at that point you call their bluff and let them be stupid.
It could also be, too, that these teams aren't necessarily interested in Juan Soto, but more so in driving the price up for Juan
Soto. That's what Christian's saying.
Yeah, right. So it's
yes and no. I think the Mets definitely want him, obviously.
Yeah, I think the Mets want him. I think the Blue Jays want him.
The Blue Jays definitely want him, because they wanted Ohtani last year, but they were used as pawns in getting the Dodgers to kind of give him exactly what he wanted. He really didn't have any intention of going to Toronto, just like I feel like Soto really doesn't have any intention of going to Toronto. I think he just wants to hear what they have to say to drive the price up for the Yankees. I think they're the ones being used as pawns here, but I think the Red Sox do have a genuine interest in Juan Soto, and I think that becomes a very dangerous offense. We saw how scrappy they could be last year at times, and then you put Juan Soto in there. The only thing is that there's reports coming out of Boston is that they don't see him as an outfielder. They see him exclusively as a DH.
I don't think he'll like that.
I don't know how much that's going to sway him, but at 26, going into your 26th season, I don't think he's going to just want to exclusively be a DH at this point.
No, he doesn't have that mentality. He needs to be out there moving around.
Yeah, but I think if that's what he wants, then that's what they'll give him if it means that he's going to sign with them.
True.
Long term, it could be a DH solution.
So here's my bigger head scratcher here. Is this the new Scott Boras strategy after this past offseason? Because we said the Yankees had to do this quick, and I couldn't agree with that more. I said to you guys last week, before all these meetings were getting talked about and being scheduled, I said, for some reason, I feel like the Soto stuff is going to happen quicker than we're typically used to. And here we are talking about meetings, and the Yankees are said to be last, and that's already scheduled for Monday. So what's more of a head scratcher to me is, why is it only these four teams? I thought at least we want to talk about driving up price. I thought at least the Dodgers would sit down with them. And why is it happening so soon? Is it the new Boras can't let 2023 early 2024 offseason happen again?
I think it's happening early because of the astronomical amount of money that it's going to take to sign him, and these teams need an answer quickly on whether or not he's going to be on their team. Now, I made a video about this a couple days ago, and regardless of what happens here, the Yankees need an answer, and they need an answer before the winter meetings conclude, because they need to know what their plan is going to be this offseason. Now, obviously, plan A, plan B, and plan C is to re-sign Juan Soto, right? Now, if they don't, they need to be able to play at the top of the free agent market. And if they wait, like we've seen guys, like I think this is an anomaly more than it's going to be the norm, as well as we saw Machado and Harper sign during spring training when those guys were free agents, right? So you don't want that to happen, because then you're sitting there waiting for this guy to sign. But meanwhile, you know, the Yankees aren't a player away here. They need Juan Soto plus. Yeah. And if they don't have Juan Soto, then they need to go out there and reallocate that money in the best way that they can. Or if they do have Juan Soto, they need to know what the budget is to fill in the holes around Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. So they can't sit there and realistically wait past Christmas, past New Year's. Now we're knocking on the door of spring training possibly starting. You know, so that's definitely something that can happen. And none of these teams really want that to happen, because you do have a lot of quality free agents out on this market. And you don't want other teams starting to snag these guys up while you wait for Juan Soto to decide what he wants to do.
And here's the thing with being last. It's risky, but ultimately, if you're willing to sign him at pretty much all costs, then you're in the driver's seat. And if you had to ask me, I would tell you that if the Yankees are going to sign Juan Soto, we know by Monday that he's a Yankee, because if you're last and that's what's being said and you have every intention of signing this guy, then whatever deal you put in front of him gets signed that day. It expires the second he walks out of the room if he doesn't sign it. And that's part of being last here. That's part of the respect that Juan Soto is giving the team to be able to match anything. But it's also up to the Yankees now. If the Yankees are going to match or give him something to say yes, that yes is only as good as him being in that room. He needs to sign on the dotted line before he steps out. And by Monday night, we're being told that Juan Soto's a Yankee for the rest of his life.
There's no reason why the Yankees should leave this meeting without a signature on the contract.
I'm telling you right now, and I'm not being irrational or dramatic, if he leaves the room without a contract, he's not coming back.
And I'll tell you this right now. And this is how this can turn on Juan Soto. And I'm not going to give the Yankees a pass for not signing him, but I also don't want this team to sit there and play games. This is a too important of an offseason for them to sit there and be strung along by one guy. Yep. I think we all have to come to a realization on that, how much we want Juan Soto back and what he meant to this team last year, that this team needs to be able to shit or get off the pot, basically, in terms of he's here, let's figure out how to get the pieces around him, or he's not, and let's build a team that can get to the World Series.
Just like you're saying, I'm not going to be happy if he's not a Yankee. I will be upset no matter what. Whether it's irrational or rational, I don't care. It's going to break my heart if he's not a Yankee. That said, the Yankees' best approach is exactly what I just said, because it's time for business now, and you're right. They can't be strung along. So as upset as I'd be if he's not a Yankee, the Yankees need to handle this properly. They are the last team to sit with him. He leaves that room either with a contract or without. If he leaves the room without, you move on immediately. Immediately. And yeah, it will still hurt. It will still break my heart. But that's the way you go about this. You don't let him string you along, as much as I love him, as valuable as he is. Second he walks out of that room without a contract, you're turning the page. And that's it. And that's how it's got to be.
And you know what? There's people like us that are having this attitude towards this whole thing. And, you know, the Met fans and even first of all, I don't think the Red Sox really have a realistic shot at getting him. I really think it's going to come down to the Yankees and Mets. That's what I believed all for a long time. And that's still what I believe here. It's going to basically become how stupid Steve Cohen is going to get with this contract he wants to offer him. And if Juan Soto really wants to be a Yankee or not.
Yeah, and I think it really is going to come down to like what kind of who is Juan Soto? What does he really want from this game? Is he a baseball guy? Like, what is he going for, a legacy? What is it that he's after? Is he after just for the paycheck, or can we get in the ballpark of a pay that is, you know, easy for the Yankees to match? Does he want to be a number two on a roster behind an Aaron Judge or a Francisco Lindor, because Lindor might not
he won't be the face.
He won't be the face of either of those teams. Does he want to be the face? That's where he goes to Boston or Toronto.
Well, he won't be there. Devers is
Boston.
The face.
No, but
Devers is falling off.
You're right though, Christian, and I didn't have Devers in my mind.
Now Soto goes to Boston, he becomes the face of Boston
because they're not winning right now. But they're not winning
exactly.
With
that's exactly Lindor, why
Lindor has shown that he can win with New York. Judge,
that's exactly why.
But Devers, he isn't the sole provider. Where if Soto comes and they get over that hump, Soto's going to get the bulk of the credit for that, I would say. So I could see him taking over as the face of that franchise.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Chies. So it just depends, man. What does he want? What do you want?
What do you want?
Let me read this super chat from Ron. He says, shout out to my man Christian for completing the Rocky run. My body was shot from the marathon, plus my son was sick the morning of. So, thank you, Rob. Would have loved to seen you out there, but obviously, you got to take care of the kids.
And we hope your son is feeling better, man.
Yes, sure. Obviously. That's number one. Rob. And congratulations on completing the New York City Marathon. Not my old ass running 3.5 miles. Down the street to Philadelphia. That's an actual accomplishment there, my friend.
I mean, yours is still an accomplishment, but that is pretty impressive.
And as
That's pretty good.
As I was saying here, Met fans are like, oh, Yankee fans are coping already with the loss. It's not coping, but we have to be realistic here. Like, that's our job here on this podcast, is to be realistic. Anything less than Juan Soto coming back is going to feel like a disappointment this offseason.
Yeah.
But the Yankees can still be a really good baseball team without him. I don't think anybody is saying that's impossible. Right. And the only way that becomes a reality is if they have an answer quickly and are able to move on here. Because if I tell you no Juan Soto, but now we're looking at, pairing up Corbin Burns with Gerrit Cole, your ears perk a little bit. Mm-hmm. Again, does it take... You saw what Juan Soto did to this offense. Who's going to come in here and replace that? But, again, man, like, there's ways that the Yankees can go back to the World Series without Juan Soto, but it's going to take a lot, and that's what scares you. You feel like they're a lot closer by bringing him back than using that money with 3 or 4 other guys to try to get back to that same point. Because, again, we come full circle here. You trust the guy spending the money to bring the right 3 or 4 guys in here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And another thing, and this is really the last I have to say on it. Everyone talks about Juan Soto being a one-dimensional player. And it just reminds me a lot of Jeter talk of, like, until you've seen him play for your team, you don't understand that, like, yeah, he might be a liability sometimes in the outfield. And yeah, he's not the greatest base runner. And yeah, his strongest, skill by far is hitting. He's a generational hitter. But what he brought to this team, the energy, the youth, the excitement, it's something that was unmatched. I mean, I can't remember the last time I was this excited for an offensive team, and then to pair that with Judge. Like, I always go back to this, and then we could read the super chat, but I always go back to this, that moment when the crowd is chanting, sign Juan Soto, and he just looks over to Judge, and Judge kind of looks over to him, and they both start smirking, and then he just turns around and acknowledges the crowd, and the place goes nuts. Like, that's not replaceable for me. And I think there's just way more to it than that. Yeah, there has to be a cap. I get it. And yes, the Yankees can still move on and be good enough to get back to the World Series. But fuck, dude, I don't want to be back in the World Series without Juan Soto. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, you do.
I don't want, I do, but what I'm saying is I want him to be a part of it. I really do.
You wouldn't care if he wasn't.
If they actually made it back? No, I'd forget about it.
If he signed with the Mets and the Yankees are in the World Series next year.
It would still hurt so bad.
Yeah, but you'd get over it.
Yeah, of course. But my point is, but you know what my point is. My point is, I want him to be a part of it.
Obviously, you felt like him putting on the pinstripes was like it was meant to be.
He just fit, dude. Yeah, you're right.
It fit. And you don't even see him in other uniforms looking at clips. It's like it just feels wrong to not see him in pinstripes.
And he was only here a year.
Yeah.
He was only here a year. And I feel like he's just a Yankee. That's it.
Let's read Rod's other super chat here. My thoughts on Soto, I want him, but not paying $700 million. Yanks still have a ton of issues. First base, third base, center field. Can't sign Juan Soto and do nothing else. Look, it's going to be tough for the Yankees to really spend big money elsewhere if they bring back Juan Soto. And that's where the argument comes from. Well, I can get three or four other guys. Great, but they could not turn out to have the impact of what one guy had on this team. And that's what I'm cautioning people against. You know what Juan Soto meant to this team. You know how he transformed this team.
Right.
The money is better spent on one guy that you know what he can do here and what he meant to this team, rather than risking it on three or four guys where you don't know how they're going to handle coming here, how you don't know how if they can positively impact this team, and you don't know if Brian Cashman's going to bring in the right three or four guys.
Right.
You know, and the Yankees gave up a lot of talent to get him. That's part of it where I just can't see them being like, okay, go. Because Brian Cashman loves to – Michael, you think he wanted to trade Michael King? He almost let the deal die because of Michael King.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like the Yankees sitting in the catbird seat being the last team to go, because everything is presented right in front of them and it's up to them to make the decision, right? But also at the same time, why do the Yankees even need to have a meeting with Juan Soto? What does he need to hear from them that he doesn't already know from having played here for the entire year?
It's not a meeting. It's a, here's the best offer I got, and here's your opportunity.
That doesn't need to be scheduled. All it is to take one phone call from Hal to Scott Boras and said, when you meet with these other teams, call me.
But I also think that's part of the show here. I think that is why I feel so confident that this is going to happen. I'm being honest with you. There's a lot of things I've doubted the Yankees doing over the last decade. I've never felt so sure that this is going to happen. It's just a matter of, the only thing you can't control is, like you said, Cohen getting really dumb and just being like, fuck this, I don't care about the future of this team, I'm gonna show him, I'm gonna really stick to him. And I don't see Cohen doing that. I really, really don't. I don't. So I think he actually signs a little less than you would expect with the Yankees, and I think it's done by Monday night.
Well, you know, you don't need to get to know the Yankees, okay? If he's scheduling other meetings after he meets the Yankees, that's a bad sign for the Yankees. It really is. There's just no other way to put it. Because what else, like I said, what else does he need to hear from the Yankees? He was here a year. He knows how this team operates. The brain trust is coming back. The core of the team is pretty much coming back. Do you want to be here or not? Here's the check. That's it.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean, Yankee fans are going to be sitting on the edge of their seat all weekend here as he starts meeting with other teams. And come Monday when he meets with the Yankees, and it's going to be rough, man, because this is the entire 2024 into 2025 offseason for the Yankees. This one guy right here. And it could be like when – how do I want to say, because, all right, we got, when Judge signed for a shit ton of money, and the Yankees still went out and got Carlos Rodon and gave him $160 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I see the Yankees turning around and doing that here? I probably not, but I still think that they can spend money somewhere. Why not, you know, could they go out and get Christian Walker on a short-term high AAV deal? Or you hear that even though Cody Bellinger opted in, the Cubs want to trade him. They want to get under the first tier of the luxury tax. Cody Bellinger has got an option year for 2026 as well. He's making $25-ish million.
He plays first?
He plays first in the outfield. Is that something the Yankees would be interested in short term to cover first base, cover an outfield spot, you know, insurance if Dominguez doesn't cut it? I mean, the Yankees have to look. We have all offseason to get into this. We got to keep him dumb. So I just want to say this. The Yankees have to pick a spot to spend a little bit of money in besides Juan Soto if Juan Soto comes back. Pick one spot, whether it is left field, even though I think we all want Dominguez there, or second base or first base. Pick one spot to bring in an established major leaguer that maybe he's not an all-star, but is a major league player you don't have to worry about him every day. I heard that maybe they might be when they were looking at getting Jazz Chisholm, they were pretty close on getting Jonathan India. Is that something that they revisit? Stick India at second base. Maybe you give the job to Ben Rice for the beginning of the season. Is that something that you can live with if Jonathan India is your second baseman?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a lot of ways the Yankees can do this, but they can't go youth everywhere. It's not Soto and then youth. You got to pick another spot. And I'm not saying it's got to be a long-term deal, but at least for 2025, stick somebody in there that is capable of handling the position for the entire year.
Agreed.
So as we move on here to week two of Keep 'Em Dump 'Em, I think we might be able to get through this a little quicker because these aren't as big of the debates. Really, they shouldn't be as they were last week. So we're going to start off this week with the general manager of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman. We'll read off his hit. Is Ryan here?
Yeah, I'm here.
You just don't show up unless you're talking.
You have it. You don't have it on gallery mode?
No.
Sounds about right.
Dude.
Oh, there it is now. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so you want to read Brian's history first?
Sure.
All right, so in 2017, Brian, and the people that were debating this week, only two of them really have vote history, so we don't really have a lot to go on here. Excuse me, Brian Cashman in 2017, 83% keep, 2018, 89% keep, 19, 83% keep, 20, 73% keep. And this is where the tide turned for Brian Cashman. 21, 50%, 57% dump. 22, 88% dump. Last year was 92% dump. And this year, the fans were a little kinder to Brian Cashman. 77% dump on Brian Cashman. Again, we'll do like we did last week. We'll go around the room here. I'll start with Brian Cashman. I'm a little bit more conflicted about this one than I was last year. I think last couple of years, I've been pretty steadfast in the dump on Brian Cashman. I'm a little bit more conflicted this year because they did just go to the World Series, and I feel like he did put a lot of the pieces in place to get this team to the World Series. I know you can't, as poorly as it ended, I don't think we can ignore the fact that this team did go to the World Series this year.
Yep.
But ultimately, still, I have to vote dump on Brian Cashman because he just still cannot finish the job around this team. You could see that the Yankees were a player or two away, maybe a fundamental player or two away, a pitcher or two away, or hitter or two away. They were just still missing something to truly compete with the Dodgers, even though if the Yankees played fundamental baseball, who knows what happens in that World Series. Or if Aaron Boone doesn't put in Nestor Cortez in game one. You know, Kate, keep going back to it. But
well, who hired Aaron Boone?
I mean, we're going to be living with that for the rest of our lives until the Yankees win a World Series here. But ultimately, it's still a dump, and that's why you say, oh, I got $600 million. I can get this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, who's spending the friggin' money here?
Yep.
That's what you have to be concerned with. What if you're living in a realistic world, yes, $600 million on a team that has this many holes in it to fill with three or four all-stars does make a lot more sense than spending it on one guy. Would you say that, really, though? Probably you could say that. But when it's Brian Cashman and you're rolling the dice that he's going to spend the money wisely on and hit on four different guys, then when all you're asking him to do is just spend on the money on the guy that you know he's already hit on, it's a safer bet.
Yeah.
So ultimately, for me, Brian Cashman's a dump. Chris?
Yeah. Ultimately, for me, a dump, and I agree with you. They made it to the World Series. They won a pennant. I think a lot of that has to do with Cashman and the moves he made. But ultimately, my argument hasn't been so much result as it's been the fact that he's just overstayed his welcome. And I think it's time to turn the page on the Brian Cashman era. And I'd be lying if I said keep it. I wouldn't be genuine if I said keep at this point just because they won a pennant. I am much more, I don't want to say sympathetic towards him. I'm definitely more pro Brian Cashman than I was last year. I do give him a lot of respect for the team he put together. I still don't agree with, you know, a lot of his choices, but ultimately I feel like the Yankees did change a lot of their philosophy that I really hated. There's still a lot in place that I dislike, but ultimately I think he did a much better job this year. And this is all being said regardless of the result, because I said it throughout the year.
Yeah.
I said at some point you have to take the blame, you know, some of the blame off of Cashman and start to blame the manager, which is a Cashman hire, and the players ultimately. So it's a definite dump for me for those reasons, but like you said, Christian, I don't want to say more difficult, but it wasn't as easy as maybe it was.
It's not a hard dump.
But it wasn't as easy as maybe it was the last couple of years.
Let's read David Douglas' super chat real quick. Love the Bellinger idea. Could you imagine?
I really love it.
I would love a lefty bat at first base.
I mean, that's why we brought it up, okay?
Okay.
All right, Ryan.
So, I don't know. Last week, I kind of went against my gut a lot, and I don't want to do that this week because I couldn't really think too great on everything. So, I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm going to say I want to keep Brian Cashman. And I'm pretty strong on that. Maybe it's because I, you know, have the impersonation of him, and I just don't want to lose that.
You're like an SNL writer.
It's the content. But, you know, a lot of the pieces that he created, they were the ones that helped get them to where they ultimately, you know, ended up not a full success of a season, but they did get over that hump of being in a World Series for the first time in 15 years. And like you said, Christian, were they a fundamental player or two away? Yeah, they were. But is that necessarily on the GM, or is that on the players that they got that just didn't really pan out in terms of their fundamentals playing such a massive, massive role in the outcome of their season? Chris, your point of them, of him maybe overstaying his welcome, that's the only aspect that I would consider getting rid of him at this time, because it's maybe just the best to change the scenery. You know, look at those pieces he added. Mark Leiter Jr. having a really unbelievable run in October that was not really expected from anyone. Juan Soto hit the biggest home run to get them into the World Series for the first time in 15 years. Jazz was the best offensive deadline signing. They stuck with Volpe, whose stock is now higher than ever after his October performance. And there's bigger things to worry about right now. It's the same kind of argument I made with Aaron Boone last week, that there's just, as much as I want to get in place, you know, some sort of stability here, sure, to fire your general manager when the best player that is put on pinstripes outside of Aaron Judge is potentially leaving, I think that's the important thing to focus on this season. And they made it to the World Series this year, guys, and they made it based on a lot of those things that Brian Cashman did that, you know, we questioned, and we had to question it because the results, and then all of a sudden some of those results, especially like a Leiter Jr., those results changed drastically. So I don't know if their shortcomings this year were necessarily on the front office, which has been the case the last several years. I think it was more on the lack of fundamental play and just a lack of being the better team in facing the Dodgers. So I'm keeping them, and I'm not even thinking about it. SGR, you make some good points there. You know, we did stick with Volpe. Leiter was a stud. And yeah, I'm here. I'm not effing leaving, as Leo DiCaprio says in the great movie The Wolf of Wall Street.
All right, so we got a comment here from Joey Cabani. It says, dump continually builds teams with the highest payroll where players play out of position, has several holes in both the lineup and in the field. It's a dump, okay? And that's a great point that he brings up. The Yankees continually play guys out of position. Josh Chisholm's not a third baseman. Who's starting third base in the World Series?
Josh Chisholm. Who's you can make the argument Glaber's not a second baseman.
Well, he's not a shortstop either.
Well, he technically is, but you know my point.
Aaron Judge is not a center fielder.
Playing center field.
You know, who else?
Ben, not in the World Series, but Ben Rice wasn't a first baseman. He was at first base all year.
I mean, they started Birdie at first base in the postseason. The guy never played.
Yeah, he never
played first his entire
Soto,
life.
Soto, not a right fielder. Playing right field, yeah.
When Garrett, this is how recently that Ben Rice was catching. He caught Garrett Cole in Somerset when he was rehabbing. So
yes.
Yep. I mean, you know, that's.
Great point, Cabani Gold.
That's the problem. You know, you want to just wrap up this quickly on Cashman here. The fundamentals, maybe that's not on him, but, you know, that's a environment he fosters by the players and manager that he puts in the dugout. So, I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
Before you get to the next guy, I think I just want to preface by saying this. We've been doing this since 2017, right? You said 17. Yes. Since 2017, I've never been more shocked by results when I press the button to vote on the Twitter than I was with this next player.
You know who the next player is?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, the next player is Clay Holmes. Okay. I couldn't find anything on him last year. I thought we would have voted on him last year, but
I thought he was going to be our second person that we had history on.
We have only 2022 of him, but I thought I never ran a poll on him last year.
I want to say you just didn't include him or something. Like he was just didn't fall in the tier or something.
Yeah. So in 2022, 92% of the fans voted to keep Clay Holmes. This year, they voted 73% to dump Clay Holmes. Chris, we'll start with you.
Man, I was really shocked because I wanted him so far gone, but look. Yankee fans, here's a genuine Yankee fan, a true Yankee fan. You can always say this about a true Yankee fan. We might be crazy and irrational, right? But when you show up in October, something changes. And for me, I know he wasn't perfect, but I'm not going to let my thoughts of him as a closer cloud the fact that if not for Clay Holmes in October, I don't know if they get to where they got. For me, as just a relief guy and not the closer, after what he did in October, it was such an easy keep for me. It really was. And I was, if we did this before October, of course, if they don't make the playoffs, he doesn't, it's the easiest dump. I was just shocked. I thought it would be more 50-50 at that point because, as Yankee fans, we appreciate the October performance. For me, it was a keep.
All right, Ryan?
Yeah, the recency bias with this is pretty strong. I'm going to have to also say keep, but with certain like precursors there. Like, you're not the closer.
You cannot be even the closer.
A question. But like you said, Chris, do they get that far without Clay Holmes in October? I don't know, because he pitched some big moments. He also squandered a few opportunities, but I think his good outweighed the bad in October this year. I love the way he addressed the role change too. That's a big thing in my opinion, how you handle that kind of adversity. That's not easy for a lot of guys. I loved how he handled that situation of kind of understanding the circumstances and then saying, you know, just being honest and saying like that. The pressure of it might have been getting to him or whatever he kind of was quoted as saying. If he wants to be a seventh inning guy again this year, you know, then let's bring him back. But I don't think that's going to be the case because seventh inning guys don't get paid what closers get paid. And there are a lot of teams that are, you know, in need of one. So I don't think he'll be back because I think he'll want to be a closer. But if I were to keep him, it would be as more of a middle reliever.
I'm voting dump. I just think that he needs a change of scenery. The Yankees need a change of scenery from him. I just don't need to see him in the bullpen. The first moment that Luke Weaver struggles this year, then they see Clay Holmes sitting out there. you know, I appreciate what he did in October. He still gave you those moments where he had no idea where the hell the ball was going. He gave up some leads in October. He was great early on, struggled later on. It's just, I think it's time for an amicable separation here. How about that?
Yeah, fine.
I mean, I don't...
My only argument, and not to drag this along, I know we got a lot of players. My only argument is, for what he gave you in October, where are you finding that? Like, he's... Like, you have the leverage here. He's not going to... I don't think he's going to get a lot of money. I think that...
If he's going to come back on a making less than Luke Weaver, we can talk, but he's not going to accept that.
Well, then obviously that's different. But in the vacuum, my point is... He gave you a lot of value in October, and I don't see where the Yankees...
He was still too hit or miss for me, even in October, and he's one of these guys where if I have my way and I want to just kind of move past certain things, it's time to move past Clay Holmes being
the
cord.
Yankee. We're cutting the cord.
Okay.
So we got a comment here from Stadium Status. Okay, the other Ryan, didn't think I'd vote keep, but I like Holmes in a clean inning, maybe Ooh. Even two. Perfect setup to the setup guy. I think he'll get closer money somewhere else, though. And that's another thing. The Yankees have way more, bigger things to spend money on than, you know, even paying Clay Holmes $5 or $6 million for the next couple of years. All right, move on here to Jazz Chisholm. Obviously, there's no history on him since it just came over at the deadline this year, but the fans voted 84% to keep Jazz. Ryan?
I'm keeping him. I liked his demeanor. I liked what he brought to the clubhouse. I kind of started tinkering a little bit with the comments he was pulling in the postseason. He's speaking a little too freely, I guess, but I think with the experience, the Yankee culture will kind of reel that in as we go on. He's under a team-friendly type of deal, so let's bring him back. But maybe think about playing him somewhere else, more of a comfortable position. But I didn't really hate him at third base, except for that one play in the fifth. So I'm keeping him.
I'm keeping him, too. I just want to look at something right here. I think the Yankees have him for two more years.
Yes, till 2026.
Yeah, so he's estimated to make about $7 million this year, and then he's arbitration eligible again in 2026. So I'm obviously keeping Jazz Chisholm, but the Yankees have to decide if they're keeping him as a third baseman or they're keeping him as a second baseman because he can probably play either one, and then it decides where you kind of want to go in free agency or internally here. The other things that I need him to work on. If he's going to stay at third base, he's got to kind of be more aggressive out there. It seems
can't let the balls eat him up.
He lets the ball play him at third base, and he makes up for him because he's got a fucking
cannon,
snot rocket of an arm out there. I'd like to see him, maybe with a full spring training, the Yankees can get him to get past that. And the other thing is, I know that the short porch is in his head. You can see it.
His swing gets so long.
He'll hit 25 to 30 home runs if he cuts his friggin' swing down.
Yes.
He's got to do that, man. He's got to have a better approach at the plate instead of just trying to gun everything out there. If he does that, man, even what are you asking Jazz Chisholm to do? Hit 250, 255 with 25 home runs, get on base.
Yeah, he can do that easily here.
Steal 35, 40 bags. I mean, he does that. He's a perfect complement to the rest of this offense. And the only other question that you ask yourself is he your leadoff hitter? Or do you want him somewhere deeper down in the lineup here? But it's an easy keep for me.
Yeah, it's a keep for me too. I'll start by saying that, and I'll try and make this as quick as possible. First point here is, like you said, Christian, he's got to stop trying to do too much. His value, he has so much more value to me just trying to get on base. It doesn't have to be a home run. Get on base. We've seen what you can do when you get on base, and we don't have a lot of that here, right? The most exciting part of Jazz Chisholm wasn't when he was putting the ball over the wall.
No, it's when he was.
I'll take it.
Single, two stolen bases.
How exciting was that? We don't get that. That's Jazz Chisholm's role. This number two that goes into number two. I think he's their leadoff hitter, so that's another reason why I'm keeping him. But I'll say this, and this is my third point, and this is it for me. Yes, keeping him, but if this is his second full year here and he has that performance in October, it's an easy dump for me. I'm really only keeping him because he didn't even have a full year here, and I really like the guy, and I think he could be valuable to this team. But he's got to start getting his head on straight in that sense. Know your role.
And shut your mouth. No, that's the,
no. He can talk all he wants.
That's The Rock says that. He goes, know your role.
Okay? Know your role. Okay. Honestly, though, know your role. Know where you're most valuable. It's not having long swings and trying to put the ball into the seats. Get on base any way you can, and then cause havoc on the base pass. We need that from you. I'm willing to give him another year. I love the guy, and I'm keeping him because of that.
All right. Okay. Peace Now for Life says, keep him. I love his energy and attitude with the swag. I say keep him at third base. He'll only get better. Or is anybody against keeping him at third base before we move on?
It's not ideal, but no, I'm okay with it because I think he's going to have enough time. He's a good enough just raw talent baseball player that he'll figure out the issues he's having, and that arm is just fucking on. He's got a Machado arm over there.
I think the arm really does. The arm's wasted at second base.
It really is. So if he can handle that, he's got an arm as strong as Machado over there, which is saying a lot. He's just that good.
Yeah, I'm not against him being the opening day third baseman. I wouldn't really bother me too much.
All right, next here is Marcus Stroman. Obviously, is a first-year player on the Yankees. No history on the voting, but 78% to dump Marcus Stroman. I'll start here. I'm with the fans here. I'm dumping Marcus Stroman. When we were live the night that he signed, and I tried to talk myself into it, and as the season went along here, you know, he did stay healthy, but I cannot watch a full season of Marcus Stroman with his 89-mile-an-hour fastball nibble. And the Yankees made it all the way to the World Series, and Marcus Stroman threw zero pitches in the postseason. That tells me that they think he's expendable. Dump.
Yep.
Yeah, that's your answer right there. What you just said. They made it all the way to the World Series, and he didn't pitch an inning in October. So you cut your ties. There was a point in the season, though. You know, I even said it, man, and I hate that I'm even going to call myself out on this, that I wanted him on the Yankees for the foreseeable future. I loved not only his game, but again, that off the field stuff. He was presenting himself very nicely, and the way he was handling the media and social media, but then his play really fell off a bit. He started getting active again on Twitter, calling out fans and all this stuff. And it's like, if you're not going to help me win a World Series and you're going to do all that, just get off the team. Dump.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, probably the easiest dump of 2024 for me. I'm just, you guys hit it on the head. I mean, he didn't bring enough to the table for me to even entertain wanting to keep him. It's an easy dump for me.
So Always Right 928 says, kept us in most games and is fearless. I'd keep him. So I'm guessing that your screen name is Sarcasm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's fearless, but he didn't even get an opportunity to show it. So that shows where he's at right now.
All right, moving on here to Giancarlo Stanton. A lot of history on Giancarlo Stanton here. In 2018, 81% to keep. 19 was 52% to keep. 20 was 76% to keep. 21 was 95% to keep. 22 was 78% to keep. 23 was 75% to dump. And he was one of those swing states, swung it around the other way here. 84% to keep Giancarlo Stanton, our playoff god. We bow at the altar of Dig Bick, Giancarlo Stanton. Okay. Chris, you can start this one.
So out of all the years you just mentioned, how many did the Yankees not make the playoffs?
2023.
And that was the 1 year the fans voted to dump, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Because Giancarlo Stanton, and I'm shocked that this year wasn't the most keep, because when Giancarlo Stanton gets into October, he becomes an easy keep because you see how valuable he is. And the one thing that we got to see this year that we didn't get to see all those other years they made the playoffs was how long he can sustain it in October. This wasn't just one series. This wasn't just two series. He took this all the way through the World Series. He did not stop. I talked about this on an episode a few weeks ago, that he was the he did it again guy. Mm. That was A-Rod in 2009. Oh, my God, he did it again. That was Giancarlo Stanton all October. Easy, easy, easy keep. Christian, you've said this for years. I don't care if he plays one or two or zero games in the regular season. If that's the guy I'm getting in October, I am easily keeping him on my roster. He is beyond valuable. And you know what? Here's something that I think changed this year, seeing him win a pennant. He's going to go down as not only a guy that was incredible in October, but a guy you're going to look back on and say, he took a lot of shit and never said the wrong thing. And I actually fell in love with Giancarlo Stanton this year.
He's not going to get his true respect from his fan base until he retires.
Fine. That's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying when he retires.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
You're going to look back on his career and say, I fucking love that guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris, you made all the points that really need to be made and need to be said about this guy. I mean, the did it again guy in October, just every single year in October, he's coming through for this team. He handles a lot of, you know, adversity from the fan base, from his own general manager, yet he doesn't really address it as a negative. He kind of understands it in a lot of ways, and he knows what the ultimate goal is for this fan base and this franchise. So he kind of puts that all in the back burner, and he puts what, you know, what really needs to be taken care of in the front. How you cannot want that guy on this team, especially after the year he had this year. Like you said, I don't care if he plays one or two games. If he's playing in October, that's all you need him for. He's earned his value. He's earned his contract. Keep.
All right. If you're one of these, oh, we got to trade him off this hot postseason, people.
You're crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the nicest way I could say it, because this is the final year the Yankees have to pay Giancarlo Stanton substantial money. He makes $32 million this year. Then in 2026, he makes $19 million. Right. And then in 2027, he makes $15 million, and if the Yankees don't want him anymore after that, he's done. So it's a three-year commitment where the Yankees are really going to get off the hook here after this year. So it doesn't make any sense to me to try to get rid of him after the postseason that he had. And I'm going to go back to this again. Take your 40 to 50 games off, hit your 220, look like you're blind half the time, run into some, make us remember how great you are 25 times during the regular season. Irrelevant, because we know what you can do in October, and that's all that matters. Until he shows me that he's not going to turn it up in October, there's no reason to get rid of this guy, because we have seen now for years, and this is a shot at Aaron Judge, I 100% of guys that don't show up in this ball club in October, and this is the one guy that does it. He's an
and you want to create that hole by getting rid of him? Come on.
Yeah. It doesn't look what he did. If you really sit there and break down what he did in the ALCS, overall his numbers are fucking trash, but he hit monstrous, big, game-breaking, changing home runs.
Big energy home runs.
You cannot just turn away from that. The guy is up there with the likes of Bernie Williams and Babe Ruth and upper echelon, historic Mount Rushmore Yankees in terms of postseason home runs.
I make my kids call him Papa now when they see him on the TV.
I'm sorry. You know, you're arguing against the wrong thing here. He's old. He's slow. He can't play the field. He clogs up the DH. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. He hit 7 home runs in the postseason this year.
He won ALCS MVP, the right. First ALCS MVP the Yankees have had in 15 years.
What else do you need to know?
That's it.
All right, Matt, I'm going to butcher your name again. Matt Bednarowitz. Okay. I learned that I can tolerate him shitting the bed in October in the regular season, only for him to turn into a superstar in October.
Yep.
All right, so these next two. The Yankees have 2 to 3 finalists for MVP. We already know that in Judge and Soto. And they also have 2 to 3 finalists for Rookie of the Year in these next two players. First up is Luis Gil. 96% of the fans voted to keep Luis Gil. Who went first last time?
SGR goes this time first.
All right, Ryan?
Yeah, quick one. Easy keep. He's under contract. He's got a team friendly. what a year from him this year. Only going to hopefully build off of that. You want to keep seeing what he's got because his stuff is electric. And when he's on, he's one of the best in baseball, his stuff, at least.
I mean, if you actually legitimately voted no and didn't, I mean, you didn't put your name to it, I would love to know your reasoning for not why he doesn't throw enough strikes. Okay, that's for next year. That's a next year discussion.
Glad you brought that up.
That's a next year discussion. Because this is his first full year coming back after Tommy John surgery. The guy really hasn't pitched in 2021. And for a good portion of the year, we didn't even miss the best pitcher in baseball because of how good this guy was.
Literally. Literally.
I mean, and you see how electric the stuff is. I give him this year to see if he can harness it. And then we'll have that discussion at the end of next year. But this is an easy keep.
Yeah, easy, easy keep. But I'm going to say this, and it's funny that you brought that up saying, you know, that's a next year discussion, because I also wanted to say this. You can give me the same exact year from Luis Gil next year, but if he's still a guy that you don't really know what you're going to get in a sense of, is he going to come out and walk 10 guys in two innings? I'm actually, if we get the, even if we get the results we got this year, I'm starting to consider a dump. And not in a bad way, not like a get this fucking guy out of here way, in a sense of he's clearly valuable because regardless of, you know, being erratic, he can, he produces, you know, big results. I just don't know how sustainable that is. And if he's going to give me the same shit next year, but also be erratic, I'm going to start to consider his value in the trade market at that point. And so for me, it's an easy keep this year, but he has a lot that he needs to prove next year, not results-wise in a sense, but just more maturity on the mound and having control on the mound.
All right, the only comment we got was from Wyatt Conklin. He said, I accidentally hit no. This doesn't account for the 25 other people that voted no. Okay.
Right.
I mean, I guess you would say to trade him would be the why you would dump him.
Well, that's
the trade. I mean, right. They're right. That would be like the...
That's it. That's the only valid thing to say.
I mean, honestly, one of the most important, if not the most important attribute in a pitcher is being able to throw strikes. So, I mean, that's why this is for a next year conversation.
Exactly.
To see how he handles himself. And when he was on that really dominant stretch there, he really wasn't walking a lot of guys. He wasn't in a lot of deep counts, man. That stuff was pumping.
Well,
so
just imagine, and we said this, like, if he can put it all together, we're not just talking about a great rookie. We're talking about one of the best pitchers in the game because of how good his stuff is.
And you're looking at him maybe as the guy that can, as Cole gets a little older here, can be throw strikes to be the ace of the staff.
Yeah, of course.
So we're moving on to here to Austin Wells. 97% of the fans voted to keep Austin Wells. Again, another easy keep here. I love what I saw out of Austin Wells this year. I don't know if he ran into a wall in September and into the postseason. Maybe he did, being this his first full major league year here. The Yankees really have to get rid of... I didn't put Jose Trevino on the list because who cares, but I would vote to dump Jose Trevino and get somebody in here. The Yankees have can trust back there to catch once a week, but isn't a threat. Not that Jose Trevino is a threat to Austin Wells, but to the Yankees, he could still be a threat to Austin Wells because we even saw that in October. Yeah. But this is Austin Wells' job. His swing plays beautifully in Yankee Stadium. And as I mentioned last week, Corey Kluber mentioned it on his podcast, the fact that the Yankees and that pitching staff trusted him in October to catch them and be behind the plate through all those innings just shows you what they think of him defensively. And after another full season, you know, this is a guy that can hit 265, maybe 270, crack you 20, 25 home runs, be a threat from the left-handed side. I mean, this is what you want in your catcher.
Yeah. Easy keep for me. Also, the only analysis I really have to give on him is this. This isn't a pitcher we're dealing with here where, you know, a guy hits his high watermark of his career in innings pitched and he might start to fade. Talking about a guy who's a catcher, who's a very grueling position. But here's the thing. I think he hit a brick wall because of how they played him all year. Not because he needed more time off. I think in a full year where Austin Wells is being treated as the primary catcher, where his body is getting used to inning day after day, inning after inning, playing each day, getting a day off here or there, you know, day game after night game, by October, his body is prepared for that. I think we saw him maybe hit a brick wall because all of a sudden at the end of the year, he's playing every single day, and that wasn't something he was used to. So I think, it can go both ways. Could he have used maybe some more days off? Fine, I'll entertain that argument, but my argument is bigger than that. This is a young kid who has caught his whole life, and you treated him like a platoon all year, and then all of a sudden you're asking him to catch every single day, game after game after game. Yeah, he's going to hit a brick wall at that point. So I think after a full year of him being the starting catcher for the New York Yankees, come October, we're seeing a completely different guy. This guy, it was one thing you can say, yeah, his bat might have disappeared, but man, was he phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal behind the plate.
And look, man, we asked for how many months for somebody to come in there and protect Aaron Judge? And
right.
He did it for a very extended stretch there. So
yeah. And look, like you said, he's up for rookie of the year. I don't think he's going to win it. I think it's going to go to Heel, but you can make the argument that it should be him. Easy keep for me.
Ryan.
Yeah. Easy keep. He's same with Heel. He's under contract for a bit. Up for rookie of the year. It doesn't get really much easier than that of why you'd keep him. He was known pretty much, I guess, coming up here as an offensive guy, but really it was what stood out to me the most was his defensive ability, especially his pitch framing ability. And again, his rapport with those pitchers was can't really go understated or overstated. One of those, but the understated, because you know that was huge. That was huge to have that sort of chemistry locked in with each of those guys, and can't really ask for much more from a guy under the kind of, with the kind of contract he has. So it's an easy keep for me.
So I'll read this comment from Bry Guy 3723. He goes by how he played. He goes by the way he played, by how he played this year in the postseason dump. But since he has potential keep. Did he watch this? Did he watch the same guy we watched?
Stack guy Bry. Yeah,
he had a really shitty
Bryans
September.
Don't like Bryans.
I mean, he had a really shitty September, and he had a few moments in October. Was overall pretty terrible.
But look at what he did behind the plate.
Yeah, and he was as hot as anybody when they first moved him into the cleanup spot. Man, I don't.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Well,
I'm excited for this next guy.
We have three players left here, and out of the 10 names that, what are you doing?
I'm going,
I have another screen open. So
out of the 10 players that we ran this week, he by far got the most comments. So people were very passionate about Alex Verdugo, who got an 89% dump, for this poll here. So who wants to start here?
I'll start it. It sucks too, because you know he's a dump, but he's coming from Boston. You're either going to be a Johnny Damon or a Kevin Youkilis. he leaned more towards the Youkilis after such a great. Another thing you have to do when you first come here is get the fan base on your side early.
Make an impression.
That's what kept him on this team in that role for as long as he did, because of the first impression that he made. He was on the fans' side. You didn't really hear a lot of booing for Alex Verdugo.
You really didn't.
You know, so he had that fan rapport, which was great to see. But then his game just totally. He became a different player when he put on the pinstripes. He wasn't what made him so valuable. His postseason wasn't anything that stands out. There was a few moments where you saw a flash. It wasn't terrible. He played solid defensively, but is that the guy you need right now when you have so many other free agents to look into, or one free agent to look into that you need to secure? Easy dump.
Yeah, I'm voting dump on Alex Verdugo. I was a big Alex Verdugo guy. I loved this move when it happened, especially when we realized that it wasn't in place of, it was with Juan Soto. I would have loved to have seen him been the leadoff hitter all year. Maybe that would have changed things that happened. Who knows? I thought based on the guys that the Yankees had on this team going into the season, he was the best option at leadoff. Obviously, the Yankees thought differently. And then when they moved him there, he had a 525 OPS for like the last 85 games. So go figure. That's smarter Yankees there. Do it when the guy sucks. Yes, he plays a really good left field. He was a Gold Glove finalist out there. not falling down in Baltimore, you know, notwithstanding that. I mean, he was a calming force out there. You didn't have to worry about it when the ball was hit to him. But he was also brought here to be a guy that can move along
on ball.
Yeah, move along the lineup here, not strike out. I think his K rate was up this year. First of all, easy, just dump because he struck out to end the World Series. So that's
easy dump.
But I don't know, man. I can't. I know that he said something that he would come back and he would even come back in a non-starting role. I don't know. I think it was one and done. Let's move on here. Even if Juan Soto doesn't come back, let's look for the outfield help somewhere else here. Right? I mean,
yeah. For me, it's an easy dump, but it kind of it hurts a little because it's one thing to dump a guy because he sucks, but you saw how much Verdugo loved this clubhouse, and he was a centerpiece. I mean, he was a guy, again, who brought energy. Rye made a great point with the first impression he made here, and great outfield, but he's just a guy that you got to cut ties with right now because he didn't bring you what you needed. He was the first person to say it. He just didn't have a year like he's used to. He's usually more consistent. Time to move on, but more importantly than anything else for me, it's not really how bad he was this year, but more about...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm ready for the future. I'm ready for Dominguez to be here and show us what he's made of. Mm-hmm. And even if he doesn't work out, Verdugo's not the answer for me. So in that sense, he's an easy dump.
The same thing with Wells and Trevino. Let's not bring in a guy that could be right. seen as a threat to Dominguez that the Yankees would want to lean back on.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, if Trent Grisham's here, they're really not gonna. I don't think they would. I don't know. Maybe they would, but I don't think that they would.
I don't think they would.
So 00 underscore Griffey says SGR, my guy, NYYST, always solid. Go get Soto. Okay.
What up, Griff?
Okay.
So let's read a comment here.
Mustache Griff?
I think, is it Mustache
Griff? Gotta be.
I think it is.
My boy.
So let's read a comment here from Bo Sheck. He said, if he's on the roster, idiot Boone will give him the at-bats and bury Dominguez. Therefore, Verdugo, he calls him, I don't know if that was a spelling error.
Verdugo.
Because therefore, Verdugo can't be on the roster even as the fourth outfielder.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what we were saying.
All right. Okay. Carlos Rodon here. The penultimate name we're doing on this list here. 61% keep last year, 72% keep this year. I'll start here. I'm with a keep, but it's not. And I love this guy. I think he's going to be great keep. I think this year has showed us what the peak of Carlos Rodon as a Yankee is going to be. A guy that can be dominant at times, a guy that's going to puke all over himself at times, a guy that's not going to be the co-ace to Gerrit Cole, but a guy that's going to be a serviceable, sometimes very good middle of your rotation guy. And they don't grow on trees. And he was hit or miss in the postseason. He's a left-handed AJ Burnett. And I just don't think that that's the spot where the Yankees need to replace right now. Honestly, I'm okay with him coming back next year and seeing if we can get another 2 or 3 years out of him like we got this year.
Yeah. I was shocked. I was shocked with my gut decision here, but it's actually a dump for me. I thought he was going to be better. He did have some really big moments in October, but if you weren't going to ask him to be a co-ace, the minimum you asked of him was to be a solid number two. And he just never gave you that, in a sense of if the season was on the line and Carlos Rodon was on the mound, you didn't know. You couldn't be confident in any way. You could make the statement, if he's on, the Yankees have a good chance of winning. But for a solid number two for me, it should never be if he's on. It just shouldn't be. Yeah, it doesn't have to be at the level of an ace, but he never gave you that. And I feel like Carlos Rodon being here is preventing the Yankees from going out and getting the guy who Cole needs behind him, truly needs behind him. I think the only hope of that is Luis Gil showing up in 2025 and being fully put together and showing what he's capable of. I just don't see it coming from Rodon, and it really, yeah, as good as he was in a couple games this postseason, he was equally as bad in others, and he's just not my guy anymore. And I really liked him. He's a dump.
All right, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Chris here. I'm dumping him as well. I'm hoping that his value of this season, it definitely went up from the year before, but not obviously as high as it was when the Yankees first signed him. But you hope you can get rid of him, recoup some of that money, because, you know, I don't want serviceable. I want a co-ace. If you're making, you know, $162 million over 6 years, you should not be just serviceable. You need to be a true ace-like pitcher, and he is not. You're not confident in his ability, like Chris said, you know, and he has 4 years left on his contract. I see those 4 years playing out more like his first year as a Yankee, although he dealt with the back stuff, than his second year. But that back stuff in the next 4 years could end up resurfacing again anyway, and then you're completely in a wash. So I would try to get rid of him right now while he has some value, get some of that money and spend it elsewhere.
You know, I don't disagree with you guys, and I do think that if I hadn't voted to dump two other starting pitchers, maybe I'd be there, but I just think that you stick him at the back end of this rotation is where he's going to fall into line here.
And I'll just say this. I don't think it's realistic to dump him. I don't think that makes any sense. I just don't. I don't think you're recouping any money. If that were realistic and that could happen, then it's even more of a dump for me. But ultimately, Christian, my reason for dumping him is because I feel like they're never going to do that. They're going to continue putting him in that two hole where they're going to just keep expecting him to be that. And I think it's a hindrance to the rotation.
Well, that's up to Luis Gil and Clark Schmidt.
Right. Right.
Why I do, though, think that he is capable of recouping money is right now is the greatest time for him and the Yankees to get rid of him, because there's only one really, I think there's really, only, I don't know, I guess there's, Snell. Is he left or he's right?
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty. All right. So then you have Snell and you have Manaea. Outside of those two, is there really anybody else from the left side that, you know, is a serviceable type of pitcher? So you might be able to.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, for a trade, it's either like a Rodon or a Jordan Montgomery. I know Rodon's contract is longer, but if you're comparing those two, I think Rodon has more value. So I think now's the time with a short amount of lefties available.
And I would like to keep a lefty in this rotation here, not get too right-handed.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I probably keep him around here. But, you know, if he's, that can easily change, man. It was like 51-49 to keep for me. So it's not a runaway here. And the comment from Gasham says he's a prima donna. So I guess that's
okay.
There you go. And the last player on the list here is Anthony Volpe. Last year, the fans said 92% to keep Anthony Volpe. Fans said 93% to keep Anthony Volpe this year. So, Chris, you could start.
Ah, man. Let me tell you something about Anthony Volpe. He showed up. He showed up. Yeah, tough play in that fifth inning. Like you said, Christian, the least of the three big errors that, you know, you want to blame the player on. It was a tougher play. Other than that, man, this kid showed up, and more importantly, and I think it shows in the voting, because if he doesn't show up in October, it's a huge swing to dump.
286, just to cut you off real quick, 286 batting average, 815 OPS in October for Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, so if that doesn't happen in October, I think this is a dramatic difference in a dump from the fans. But what this shows me is that what I'm feeling right now is what a lot of the fan base is feeling. When that ball cleared the wall in that grand slam in game four, I fell in love with Anthony Volpe. I fell in love with the kid. I've always wanted him to be successful. but now he's my guy that I want to be successful. He's my shortstop. I don't want him going anywhere. I fell in love with this kid. Easy keep for me.
Ryan?
Yeah. We've been saying this now for a while because we didn't get the opportunity to see what he would do in the postseason last year because they didn't make it. But it did. You had a feeling that his comparison to Jeter, if there ever would be one, might come in October. And I'm glad that he kind of proved us right in that sense. That this guy really turned his game to a whole nother level in October. His demeanor. Who was it that he got into a little?
Teoscar, I believe. Sorry. It was against the Royals.
It was Michael Garcia.
Garcia. Yeah.
Like that was a nice moment to see that. Like, you saw a guy that was getting more and more confident, and you just want to see how he builds off that. I think he's a guy who's going to continue to build off that momentum going into next year. His stock's higher right now than it kind of ever was for me.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Keep. Sorry, I was reading something. I'll admit that this keep is solely based on October.
Of course.
Absolutely.
If we ran these polls and were doing this before the ALDS started, or if the Yankees don't make the postseason, it's a dump because he showed nothing. He showed less this regular season than he did last regular season. Where we sat here, Chris, how many times you said, oh, you got to move that timeline up, whatever it was.
You kept saying the All-Star break, and I kept saying you might have to move it up.
Got to move it up, right? And now I think he's bought himself at least all of 2025 to see what we can get at, see what he does in October again. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
I think it's actually beyond that, man. Like I said, I fell in love with this kid.
But he has to be better next year. These numbers are fucking abysmal, bro. This is what he did here. Career. Where is it? Career. Two full seasons now. He's got 33 home runs. He went from 21 to 12. Okay. The one thing that we said, maybe that leveled off swing. Oh, it's so much better. Great. He lost 9 home runs. But he added 35 points in the batting average. It was the most useless 35 points added in a batting average ever. He's a career 228 hitter, career 288 on base percentage, 661 career OPS, career 83%, career 83 OPS plus. I mean, these are disgusting numbers. These are two full years from Anthony Volpe.
He's a well below average baseball player in this.
Well below average.
And let me ask you this. I don't know if you have this handy. How many stolen bases in his 2 years?
And he had
42.
He had 42.
No, what? No, I was just making it up.
But that's actually a pretty good guess. I think it's less than that.
He has 52 for his career. He had more this year. He went from 24 to 28.
Huh.
Which,
but also his walk rate went down because he had 52 walks in last year, right? And he had 42 this year, but he did cut down his strikeouts from 167 to 156, but it was just less impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but I had something I was going to say and I completely forgot now, but here's the thing with Anthony Volpe, right? Now we know what he does in October. We know that he turns his game up when the lights are brighter. But this, he cannot be this guy in the regular season, though. If the Yankees are going to go with, say, a Caleb Durbin at second base, if they're going to go with, give Jason Dominguez a full one full year run where you don't know, even though we might have the highest of hopes for him, right? You don't know. Again, we're highest of hopes for Austin Wells. But now if you hand him the job again, he's basically a veteran now. He's got
And that's what I wanted to add to your point there, because he's a guy that you notice when he was out of the spotlight a bit, like at the bottom of the lineup at the beginning of the year, that he really excelled in that role. And then in the postseason, what's the story for the Yankees in October? It's Aaron Judge he's not producing. He slides under that radar, and that's where he's at his best, where that line of thinking is not really there. Great point.
And that's something that why when I brought up Jazz the leadoff hitter, because it's not Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe is a guy just like we've seen sometimes when you when they stuck Gleyber Torres somewhere and he was doing well, and then they moved him, and then he fits as a seven hitter. Do I personally love hit the way he profiles? No, but he seems to be working there. Leave him alone. Leave him as a seven hitter right now.
And here's a point that no one talks about, and you're going to think I'm crazy, but it's the truth. When you're leading off and you're hitting in front of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, do you know what that does to other teams? It makes them look at you much, much more than if you're tucked in at seven or eight. It makes them look at you as more of a threat than what you're doing on the field because of the guys hitting after you. And so I feel like Volpe gets way more exposed in hitting higher in the order there. It's not just a mental thing. We've seen the kid come through when the lights shine the brightest. I think it's more of he becomes too exposed. Let him be the guy that the pitchers think they're going to get a break on after going through Soto and Judge and Stanton. Let him be that guy. Get on base. It's that simple. Kind of like we talked about with Jazz, of just being a little more simple out there. Don't try to do too much. Volpe, don't try to do too much, man. Just get on base. Be a threat on the base pass. Put the ball in play. That's it. Get on base. The on-base percentage needs to go way up for Anthony Volpe next year.
I want to close the conversation on Anthony Volpe with this. Are we buying or selling him being a superstar now? I would say keep or dump. He's going to be a superstar because
Dump. I can't say that what he showed me is a superstar. Potentially.
Okay, so we changed the conversation on Anthony Volpe now to where he's not going to be a superstar. He's not going to be Derek Jeter. He's not going to be what the Yankees initially sold us on, which sucks. But the Yankees, can he be a guy that hits 265, 270, 20 home runs, steals 40 bags, gets on at a 33% clip? That's a guy that
Shows up in October.
And shows up in October. Are you okay with that being your shortstop for the next 10 years?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you show up in October, you want them in the regular season. You're making great points with that. But then if you're going to make it to the postseason and you do that,
has to get on at a 30 to 35% clip, and he's got to steal 35 to 40 bags. He has to do that. If he doesn't do that, he's useless to the Yankees. And we've seen him be useless to the Yankees for almost 2 years now.
And that's fine as long as they're going to find a first baseman who can make up for that. And that's why the first base position here, see, we were spoiled with Jeter. He never jumped at it off the page at you power-wise, but he was always a guy you can rely on in this lineup.
So I was hitting 320 every year then.
I know, but what I'm saying is power-wise.
But he doesn't do that either. He doesn't have power or he's not hitting.
I know, but guess what other position doesn't? First base. This team needs a first baseman. If I'm going to get that production out of my shortstop, less than what I got from Jeter, I need much more out of the first base position. I need it. I can't have an infield of guys who aren't really doing much. I mean, think about it. Let's start with Jazz. I mean, yeah, he wasn't here a full year. I guess it's unfair, but you only got, a dozen home runs out of him. Volpe dropped dramatically. Gleyber didn't show up all year until October. And first base was a fucking crapshoot. And Wells didn't play every day.
It was just crap.
Yeah, it was crap. So, we can't have that all around the infield this year. And the one place you can find more power from right now is first base. It's a big spot for the Yankees this year. In my opinion, after Juan Soto, the next top priority by far, by a million, is getting me a real first baseman who can put the ball over the fucking wall and into the seats.
So if the Yankees bring back Juan Soto and a legitimate first baseman and do nothing else of note, are you okay with that going into
the season? Yeah, they're winning another pennant if that happens.
Going into the season? Or
going into the season.
Yeah,
they're winning another pennant.
You look at your your trouble spots, I guess, and try to add a pitcher at the deadline or something like that. Yeah, you have to. But yeah, that would definitely to me be, listen, if you get Juan Soto back on this team, I'm very happy with this offseason.
So the only other bit of free agency news that we did hear is that the Yankees and Tim Hill are interested in a reunion. We'll have to see what that looks like. I would love to see Tim Hill back on this team.
Yeah, how could you not?
You guys aren't over him?
No.
We're not over the hill.
Thank you.
I don't know.
How could you be over Tim Hill?
Nah, you can't be. Get over it. You can't.
So next week we can really, because we're going to be off for Thanksgiving, so it's going to be our next week will be our last show for a couple weeks here.
Okay.
We can really sit there and look at how this team can be constructed. Maybe we'll have some Juan Soto news. Maybe we won't. Maybe we can start to look at how the team gets put together with him, or how the team gets put together without him. Because I think realistically, I see first base is probably their number two priority. Would you say that? Would you say
first base?
After Juan Soto, I see first base as a number
two. I just said it.
I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this team didn't have a home run from the first base position since July 31st. They were at or near the bottom of every major offensive statistical category at first base.
They could have used a couple of them, too.
And that's just not Yankee tradition. That's not what you if I said to you, name me your prototypical Yankee team from history, one of the first things you're popping off is slugging first baseman, right?
Yep.
For the left side.
SGR has said that for years. If you look at every, at least in our lifetime, every big Yankee team. Yeah, of course you can. I'm just saying in recent memory, one thing has always been true. Every big Yankee championship team has that first baseman that just does it.
Historically, how the New York Yankees got to a World Series with that crew at first base is astonishing.
It's astonishing. If you really, and this is the last thing I'll say here, if you, because we're talking about all these holes, right? Second base, shortstop, first base, left field. The Yankees got to the World Series without production pretty much from all of those positions all year long. You could even throw a third base in there. How did they do it? They did it because there were two men in this lineup. Two men, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. And then, to SGR's point earlier, the guys who Cashman brought here showed up in October, the Mark Leiter Juniors, the Tim Hills, the Clay Holmes, the Luke Weavers, they all showed up. Stanton showed up. This team became a little magical when you needed it to the most. But throughout the whole year, it is astonishing that they got such a lack of production from so many positions and still ended up winning the AL pennant.
It just goes to show you the importance of keeping Juan Soto and Aaron Judge together.
Absolutely. Right. That's why I made my point.
Right.
And the last thing we'll say here is congratulations to Dave Sims, the new radio
voice
of the New York Yankees. It was announced today that he has signed a 2-year deal with WFAN to be the radio voice of New York Yankees. If you really paid attention to this search throughout the course of the year, it's not really a surprise. This was Susan Waldman's pick. And there are a few clips of Dave Sims. I tweeted one of them that are floating around on social media today. This guy is...
If you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor and watch it. A couple of them.
I can point you to the one that I have at Christian_NYYST. Go there, you know, listen to it. Now imagine that late October night in the Bronx.
He's electric.
That call would go down the pantheon of calls in the history of baseball. I mean, John's our guy. We love John, the legend, the GOAT. I mean, I'm going to miss him.
MYST podcast guest.
As poorly as it ended, I'm so happy for John that he got this World Series. He came back. The Yankees got there. He got to call one more World Series. But if you you know, the Yankees had to go from, and this is not a knock on Derek Jeter, on Didi Gregorius, but you had to go from like Derek Jeter to Didi Gregorius. And then now they really still are waiting for that next franchise shortstop. They basically went from Derek Jeter to Derek Jeter
with
bringing in Dave Sims here. So I would love it if he was the TV voice, because I won't hear him as much being on the radio, but this is just an amazing hire for the Yankees, and I'm so happy that he's going to be here. So congratulations to Dave Sims, and congratulations to everybody in the chat for making it through another long episode here. It's the off season, a lot to break down. We're glad that you joined us here tonight. If you're still here and you haven't done so already, please like this video and subscribe to NYY Underground. And if you are listening on your favorite podcast platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review and subscribe and tell everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Like I said, we'll be back next week to kind of see where the Soto sweepstakes sits and how we could kind of put this team together before we take a little break here before Thanksgiving. And just look into the future after that. And so we hope you join us for all of it. So thank you very much again for your continued support of NYYST and NYY Underground. Thank you very much for listening and watching episode 437, SGR.
Go Yanks. His computer died.
All right. So Chris, say goodbye.
Peace.
Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. But a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told him last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that text. From waiting, it's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.